The Night Shift.
Well, if you were listening to The Night Shift yesterday, you would have heard a caller that we received from a lovely lady, Michelle. Now, Michelle is 52 years of age, and she's frustrated because she's ready to get back into the workforce after raising a family, a foster family, incidentally, and she can't. No one wants her. She's got qualifications. She says she can do anything. She, when listening to her yesterday, she's got a heap of personality, very intelligent, willing to do anything, willing to learn anything, and she cannot get a face-to-face interview. She's tried Kmart, Woolies, Coles, and for all of those positions, you have to go online. And how do you sell yourself to a potential employer if you can't get a face-to-face interview and do exactly that, sell yourself? How do you sell yourself online? This is a dilemma for many Australians, and I thought we'd talk to our job expert, Graham Wynn, from Superior People Recruitment about this, because, Graham, this is up your alley. You find people jobs. Good morning to you, Graham.
Good morning, Luke. How are you?
Good. You relate to what Michelle's saying?
I do, yes. And we come across this quite often, and the fact that most jobs now, you need to go online. And there's a number of reasons for that. The simple reason is the volume of applications that people get. If they had to do a face-to-face at every person, they'd never get any other work done. So going online, in theory, helps them to cull just the ones they want to see. Another issue they have is that back when me and you were looking for work when we were younger, HR departments used to do recruitment. They don't do that anymore. It's more about protecting the employer, workplace issues, safety, training. They don't do the actual recruitment anymore, HR. It's only line managers that do that. So again, going face-to-face is difficult. So that's why everything is done online these days, to make it easier for the employer.
But okay, I get that. But how then, Graham, what's your advice to Michelle and other people 40 years of age and over? Let's concentrate in 40 and over on getting back into the workforce and being able to sell yourself at an interview.
Okay, there's a few things I need to do here. Basically, when you're applying for a job, you need to make sure you're not using standard template resumes. When you see a job online, there are a lot of keywords in that job ad. And we'll use Seek as an example. So people put an ad on Seek, and there are keywords in that job ad they use to get their job ad high up in the Seek search. So when you're applying for jobs, you need to make sure those keywords you put in your resume or cover letter. Deal with what the keywords are in the job ad. Because what happens is, 99% of the agencies these days, they don't look at resumes. It's an automated system. They use an automated system now. So when you apply through Seek, it goes straight into their database. No one looks at it. And if there's enough keywords that match, it spits it out the other end, and then they look at it. So if your keywords aren't matching the job advert, never gets spat out. No one sees it. That is the problem. And they're using this automated system to streamline the process, but it means a lot of good people don't get their resumes looked at because the keywords don't match.
Michelle said she even tried for a job at Bunnings, who are quite famous for hiring people over 40.
Yeah.
She said, once again, it wasn't going to be a face-to-face interview. It was once again going online. And so this is a skill, I guess, that has to be taught. How are we supposed to know this?
Well, you don't. That's the problem. I mean, My company, we actually look at every resume because the job you've applied for, you might be right for, but might have another job you're good for. But the bulk of recruiters these days, they don't look at resumes. It's an automated system to streamline the process. And if your keywords don't match, and little things like put a suburb where you live, because their system will say the job is in Wollongong. We need somebody within 30 kilometres of that. And if you don't have a suburb on your resume, it won't find you. So you've got to make sure you've got enough information on your resume that their system will find your resume. And when you see an ad on Seek, look for the keywords that they'll use 4 or 5 times, the same keywords in a job ad. And you make sure on your resume, you match up those 4 or 5 keywords. And that's how they then get your resume spat out the other end.
All right. That's really interesting.
It's a horrible system.
It's something that we need to know. So it's one thing to stand out at a face-to-face interview, but you're lucky to get that face-to-face interview.
Correct, because, and again, as I said, they streamline the process. They think it's more efficient, but I don't think it is. To me, it's a lazy way of recruiting. I don't see it as a good system at all. And there are a lot of good people who don't get looked at purely because their resume doesn't match keywords in these companies' database systems.
I'm talking with Graham Wynn, our employment expert here on The Night Shift on Triple M. Just quickly, there are concerns that JobMaker could pay bosses to cut wages and jobs. This is a warning that has been given to Treasury that employers could actually sack experienced employees and then replace them with workers earning maybe just a third of the salary and get a taxpayer-funded grant to do it. This is a worry. Explain what's going on here.
So basically what's happening is with the job maker, so employers are now being encouraged to employ up to a certain age range, and they'll pay you $200 a week as a subsidy against their wage.
That's to hire people under 30.
Correct. So as long as they're doing more than 20 hours a week and they're on JobSeeker at the moment, then you can actually get this $200 per week. So what they're saying is if you've got a person who's earning $75,000 a year, doing 40 hours a week, you could employ three people to do 20 hours a week for the same money and get potentially $15,000 back in hiring credits. So you're now getting 60 hours of work instead of 40, and you're $15,000 a year better off.
So you could, in fact, you could sack someone, Graham, say earning 75K a year.
Yep.
And replace that one person with three staff on 30.
Correct.
And what you just said is JobMaker then would pay the $15,000 gap?
Exactly right.
Right.
And you've got 20 hours more work now from these three people instead of the one person doing just the 40 hours. Now, obviously, it's not easy to sack people. We know that. But they can be very creative and make a position redundant and say, we don't need that full-time position anymore. We'll create three part-time roles instead. And that's how they can get around it. So it's certainly open to abuse. How often it will be abused, who knows? But once a government put a system like this, what any government system goes in place, people will find ways to work around it for their advantage. And some employers will see this as a chance to get rid of expensive staff, put in less paying staff, get more hours out of people, and be better off financially.
So job
the option is there.
So JobMaker could actually create an incentive for an employer to replace an older worker with several part-time workers.
Correct, yes. And what that will do is reduce the unemployment. It'll reduce the unemployment figures. Brilliant, because you're replacing one person with two or three. But what it will do is reduce the number of full-time workers, but just increase the number of part-time workers, which is an insecure workforce, as we already know.
Dear, oh dear, oh dear. Keep an eye on that for us. Graham Wynne, always good to talk to you. Thanks for keeping us up to date. And for callers like Michelle, listeners like Michelle, and there's a stack of them out there who are struggling to get back into the workforce, let's call it 40 years of age and up. Your advice?
Yep. Look, I think that once you do it, you've got to keep trying for sure, but certainly just look for keywords in job ads and make sure you have those keywords. Make sure your resume doesn't have gaps in it. If there are gaps, explain why there are gaps in your resume. Put as much information as possible. And so put a suburb on. You don't need a full address, but put a suburb on. But I also recommend if you don't have social media profiles such as LinkedIn, get a LinkedIn profile because people will look at your LinkedIn profile to really back up what your resume says to make sure, okay, these two things don't match.
Okay, now, let's say you live in a suburb that has a high unemployment rate and a high crime rate. Do you lie about your suburb?
No.
I wonder how many people attempted to.
Look, a lot do, and a lot leave it off because they know. Part of the problem is the government job active systems, those agencies, they tell job seekers to leave information off their resume for fear of being discriminated
against.
That's
right.
It actually goes the other way around. If you leave information off, you get discriminated against because we don't know, and we know you're trying to hide something. Yeah. So if you're trying to hide something, we worry about it. So we therefore move on to the next resume. So the advice they're getting from the government departments is just wrong.
All right, D-Wiz. Okay, we need to talk about this in a bit more detail down the track. Graham, thanks for your time this morning. I know you're busy. Have a good day today.
All right, take care, Luke.
Our employment expert, Graham Wynne from Superior People Recruitment here on The Night Shift on Triple M.
This is The Night Shift. The Night Shift on the Triple M Network.